This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thank you for being with us today. So today, I want to talk to you about something very common. I want to talk to you about magic. We see a lot of people, and I think everybody's kind of excited by and thrilled by magic. People make amazing things, transpose. Somebody's able to put your cell phone inside a bottle without breaking it. Some people can rearrange a Rubik's Cube with their mind. Some people can walk through glass, levitate, walk on water. A variety of things that they do, and now it's theater. That everybody sees this as exciting and interesting, money floating out of the sky. So we consider this magic. But actually, it's not. It is a different vibration rate. From an analytical point of view, I guess from a scientific point of view as well, everything in the universe is in vibration. It doesn't matter what it is. The atom is moving. It has a nucleus and electrons, and those electrons are moving, and there is action within the elements, the atoms of the elements, and the elements combine and form all the variegatedness we see. But at the atomic level, there's a lot of space actually in there, and the little elements are moving. Even though they form something as hard as rock, or as hard as the chair you're on, or the table in front of you, or the car you're in. And we see the strength and durability of mountains and aspects of the planet. But if we look back a little bit, even at the planetary level, there's a lot of space between the planets. They're all moving around, kind of like the atomic structure we're just talking about. And there's cycles, vibrations. A cycle of the Earth may be a year. The rotation of the planet is a day, but it's a cycle. It's a vibration. So everything within the universe is in a vibration. Everything from the atomic level to the universal level and everything in between. And also it's electrically charged. Everyone understands that we are electromagnetic beings. Our senses and our nervous system, our minds, all work on pulses, impulses, our nervous system, our spinal column. It's all on a very low current, but it's on an electrical system. And similarly, the planet, it has a north and south pole, magnetic north and south. There's these interactions and orbital relationships on this, all the way up at the planetary level. It's all electrical magnetic vibration. So there is vibration, and there is electric polarity. And those two things are common at all levels of the manifestation. Now, that means that at one particular vibration, the door that you're standing in front of is actually permeable. Now, that particular vibration, you can harmonize your vibration rate with that of the door, and the atoms slide between the atoms, and the person can walk to the other side. Now, how disassociated, or what vibrational rate it is, or the combined relationship, the period of time involved, there's a host of variables in it. But with a bit of practice, there are beings, and we see them as magicians, that can walk through walls, glass, doors, etc. So this is not magic in the sense of something that's not possible. It is being done, and it is possible, and it isn't that they're illusioning your mind. They're actually moving from one side of the glass to the other side of the glass without going around. They're going right through. Now, the Vedic literature describes that these mystic powers, there are eight of them, and I'll give them to you so that you understand them from now on, because what it is these are powers that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has. He's called Yogeshvar, which means he is the master of mystic powers. And he has the ability to do all of these eight mystic powers that I'll lay out here for you. And you can see how by this combination of potencies, the Lord can be right in front of you, but you can't see him. And a few other things can be explained as far as movement around the universe and movement through different types of matter. So the eight kinds of perfectional wonders are to become smaller than the atom. All right, you can become extremely small or lighter than a feather. You can get anything and everything that you desire instantly. Go anywhere and everywhere one likes. Create objects, even a small planet in the sky. Become heavier than the heaviest. So these are the type of powers that are available. They're not inhuman. They're not unattainable. They're not magic. They are types of vibration rates that the consciousness of the living being can accelerate to or harmonize with and be able to achieve these different types of mystic powers and become proficient. This is why you hear this magician, he can do these amazing things, but it took him a long time to conquer it. He had to practice a lot. Well, what is he practicing? He's practicing these eightfold mystic powers, how to change his vibration rate, harmonize it with the vibration rate of some object or entity or position, and alter it very easily, very quickly, once the vibration rate is correct. Now, this is the same idea of our ability to move in water. It's not so easy for us. Our bodies aren't correct. But if you look at a fish has fins that are positioned quite uniquely on their bodies. And they have the ability to have water running at them, and from the water coming at them, derive the energy to jump forward against that water flow. And this is used by fish to go upstream and spawn. So by the proper adjustments and arrangements of the body, the fish can overcome the force of the water, which is intending to push it downstream to the ocean. Instead, he can work his way upstream to a calm spawning area where they lay eggs and perpetuate their species. So to us, that seems very impossible. How does the fish do it? How can it do it? So all of these powers are relative to the vibration rate that the living entity can adjust his being to. His body, his mind, everything can be adjusted to a different vibration rate. And he's then in a harmonic situation where he can do what seems to be the impossible. Now, all of these wonderful things that are beyond ordinary living beings, they're called the mystic perfections that are proficient in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they're available in great saints and sages who strive for mystic perfection. But now here comes the rub. These particular powers, these particular abilities, do not liberate the living entity from the cycle of birth and death. The real problems of existence is not, I need money or I need to get across town quick. It is not that I need to walk through that wall. It is not that I need to change my clothes in an instant. The situation is we need to stop the anxieties caused by the bodily experience in the material world. We have a situation where we're semi-foreign. The bodies are actually foreign to the spiritual existence of you and I as conscious living entities. As conscious living beings, we are made to be happy. We are made to be full of knowledge, fully happy, eternally. We are eternal living entities. We're in temporary bodies, and these temporary bodies are made of inferior quality stuff, matter, and they cause us anxiety. I've covered before on our program, there are three types of miseries. Those miseries, anxieties caused by the mind and the body. Those miseries caused by other living entities upon you. And those miseries and anxieties caused by the material forces, material elements upon you. Those are called the threefold miseries of life. There is no exception. Everybody who has a body has this happen. Now, it's exemplified by old age, disease, and death. Nobody's body is a permanent thing. We tend not to look at that because we're very busy using the body as our private vehicle. It takes us here, there, and everywhere. It sees, remembers, experiences, does, advances, causes so many different things that we desire. It's our own personal vehicle. But the anxieties are there. The people go through their lives in denial that they're in anxiety. You try to go and build a doghouse, and you still have to do the work of cutting. You have to do the work of hammering. You have to do the measuring and the thinking. You have to do the material acquisition. You have to clean up. You have to paint. You have to suffer through the fumes. There are so many things you have to do as far as energetic exertion to achieve this doghouse. It isn't like clap your hands, snap, there is a doghouse. No. The matter-of-fact situation in the material world is the material endeavor and adjustments and manipulation of matter is required for whatever it is you set out to achieve. And the issue there is, well, you've only got a fixed period of life. So you can only do so many things before you run out of time. So what is worth doing and what is a waste of your time? And now here we run into personal desire. I might say to you that I have something in front of me that I think is a total waste of time. And you go, no, wait a minute. This is cool. I love doing this. And again, we can talk to a dozen people and get a dozen answers. So each of the living entities has free will to desire fulfillment in their own existence, in their own way. And the body is the personal vehicle to achieve the fulfillment of those desires. Now, the thing that we have to keep in mind is you will enjoy the results or you will suffer the results. You're building the doghouse. You'll enjoy having a doghouse for the dog. He's in a better condition. Great. Everything's taken care of. You've done it. You've built it. However, you got your knee with a staple gun, and it's become infected, and now you can hardly walk, and you spend 3 or 4 days getting that knee back together because you got an owl out of the building the doghouse experience. So everything in the material world has a plus and a minus in it, a positive side and a negative side. And the biggest negative side of anything, no, everything that you do is it costs you lifespan. And from this point of view, one should be intelligent enough to evaluate how do I properly use my duration of life. Now, if we look on a social platform and we consider, well, what does everybody else consider to be important, you'll see nonsense is at the top of the list. The media is a gigantic tool of distraction. Crap on top of crap on top of crap. Human interest story. Entertainment television. Entertainment. Everything you can think of. Total waste of time. Because there's no return. We've already discussed that your duration of life is limited, so it's important that you get something out of the experiences, the activities you perform in the life. You can sit there with a ping pong ball and a paddle and bat the ball against the wall for 50 years if you'd like. But all you've done is spent your lifespan when so many wonderful things could be experienced, so many things could be learned, so much benefit could be produced. Or you can just be a nog. Cowboy. couch jockeys, game players, video games. There's no return. You work yourself through all the levels that they have, and you collect all the thises and all the thats, and you do this and that, and you finally win the game, and you get to enter your initials or your name into a list, and the game says, well done. And you just spent 3 days or 2 weeks of your life clocking the game, and you have nothing out of it. You have the experience, but you have no result, no knowledge, no growth, no skill acquisition. So the intelligent person, he's not going to be satisfied with that. So you can't accept the standard of society, because society has been dumbed down by fluoride and aspartame and chemtrails, GMO foods, television, cell phones, Wi-Fi, EMF, microwaves. All of these things deteriorate the capacity of the human mind. And everybody's implicated in this. So to keep up the standard of society is not an achievement. No trophy for that one. No award, no ribbon. You don't get anything for that. But the people aren't looking at that. They're going, I'm doing good relative to the other people. And this is a massive mistake on the part of the people of the planet. You're not supposed to judge your abilities or qualities by judging everyone else's and ranking yourself accordingly. This is illusion. You're supposed to judge yourself from the perspective of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's value of you, your service, your contribution, your attitude, your intelligence, your growth. That's where the real evaluation goes. Because at the time of death, when your next life is being determined, that's what's going to be evaluated. Not if you can clock this game. Not if you did as good as 60 other people in your town. That's not going to even matter at all. It's going to matter about what is your level of morality. Do you have ethics? Are you honest? Have you been spiritual? Have you made a contribution? Do you understand God? Do you serve God? Are you an angry, evil, vicious, mean, disgusting person? Or are you kind and benevolent, clean and honorable? This is what's going to be judged. This is what's going to be evaluated. So if you know these things, you should be evaluating your performance on a daily basis from the higher perspective, not from the perspective of what is everybody else doing. That is how you go to lower species of life. That is how you fall from the human form, the great opportunity of the human form of life, into the lower animal species of life. You can become a tree. You like to be naked? You can become a tree. You like to eat meat? You can become a tiger. You like to cheat? You can be a fox. There's so many things you can fall to and still carry on with the activities that you consider important. But you're not using the human form of life with advanced intelligence, with hands, with a relationship, a conscious relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're not going to continue that. You're not using that, so you don't need it. So when the time of death comes and the evaluation of your contribution, your performance, and your lifespan is summed up, you need to have high level of credits to get another human form of life. And if you don't have them, you don't get the human form again. Everyone thinks that, oh, if I'm a good boy, I'll go to heaven. And if he's a bad boy, he goes to hell. It's quite a lot more complicated than that. There are 8,400,000 species of life, bodily types. And you can take any one of them according to your work. And you, next time you see David Attenborough showing you thousands of types of animals or plants in the forest, just realize they all have a unique experience in their existence in that body. But they're a living entity just like you and I. But they've misused their independent choice, their free will, and they've caused the result that they're living in a forest 100 miles from anything with thousands and thousands and thousands of other plant forms, and they're stuck. They can't move. They can't walk off. They're fixed in plant bodies. How frustrating do you think that would be? You have so much independence now. And if you're not using it correctly to elevate your consciousness and make a positive contribution and lift yourself out of the illusory values that society has created, you can end up in one of those species of life. Because it's the quality of your work. This is not some speculation, some concoction. It's a reflection of the quality of your work in this life with your free will now. So, this is another concept that is not magic. This is common sense. This is proper evaluation. You can actually advance yourself to the higher species of demigod life. You can advance yourself to the highest positions within the universe. And then you can actually do better than that. You can return to the spiritual world where everything and everyone is living an eternal life with none of these inferior material bodies. This is the opportunities that are in the human form. You can achieve success beyond your wildest dreams, beyond this concept of walking through walls and making things appear and money fall from the sky and all these temporary achievements. You can actually return to the spiritual world, an association of fully realized beings, having a social interaction of the highest caliber, directly rendering service to the Supreme Lord in the personal association of the Supreme Lord eternally. No half measures, no for a while, permanently, out of this cycle of birth and death, in the condition of love and life and activities that far surpasses anything going on in this material world. We are so dull in this material world due to the contamination of our environment, everything from physical to mental, that we don't even realize how wonderful it can be, and we're hanging on to how this mediocre happiness we get. We're attached to this mediocre, temporary, so-called happiness riddled with anxiety. But we don't want to give it up because nobody wants to die. Because we're all eternal. But you have to die because you have a material body. It dies. You don't die. The body does. We carry on. We are eternal conscious living beings. We carry on. What dies? The temporary body. It's getting old right this minute. Everybody's body is getting old. Even the kid who's 5 years old, his body is getting old. At day one, it starts getting old. It goes through what we call growing up, growth. But it's getting old. That's what it's doing. And it gets to the point it's so old, it doesn't work anymore. Then the living, conscious living entity moves on according to the qualities of his work. So you need to look. What is the quality of your work? What is the grades of your desires? What is the importance of your desires? Are you using your free will in this human form of life to make the best use of your time? Or are you wasting your lifespan with frivolities, trivia? I see these games, these trivia games. Oh, answer this question. Oh my God, who cares? Who cares? In 1864, so-and-so invented the what's-a-what-call-it. So what? In this year of your life, what have you invented? What have you contributed? Now that's a question. And that's not trivia. It matters to you. It matters to those around you. It matters to the time, place, and circumstance you're in. So the Vedic literature is laughing at those people who think mystic achievements and magic, who think that blending into society and being like everyone else has importance. The Vedic literature simply laughs at the foolishness and quickly turns to instruct you, raise your consciousness to your eternal perspective of life. Become God conscious. Become self-realized. Use this human form of life for what it is intended, to develop love of God, to reach to the platform of selfless devotional service. Then you can actually be confident of achieving something much more superior to anything you can achieve in this world. There are people that have set world records, and you don't even know their names. There are people that broke this record in 1935. There are people that broke it again in 40 and 70 and 90 just last week. They break the record. Oh, but nobody cares. It doesn't make any difference. You go home, back to Godhead, become an eternal servant of God and the association of other eternal servants, and it makes a huge difference to everybody there because of your good association, and to you by their good association, and you develop love of God permanently. You are free from all the contaminations of this material world. That's worth achieving. That's worth celebrating. And that's not magic. That's your purpose.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.